Today on the Delegator Daily Thought, we take a look at simple truths, gun control, the Second Amendment, and why the left only has propaganda. Either those who put the propaganda out to mislead and misconstrue, or to the followers of those people, the sheeple who cannot engage in critical thinking at all. In short, we look at fools today. Fools who believe propaganda and want to surrender all rights because it makes them feel better. Welcome to Daily Gator Daily Thought with me, Doug Hagan, of the Daily Gator blog. It's Saturday, folks. And time for some thoughts, keyword thoughts, on gun control. Now, what got me originally wanting to do this was a tweet that has been, taken apart and completely shown to be one of the most foolish things ever said on Twitter. I mean, I've read many tweets. And Joan Walsh sets a standard for stupidity if you've ever seen her on MSNBS or read what she used to write for a Salon. Maybe she still does. Or read her tweets, you know she is a professional idiot. Highly trained idiot. And she usually has nuclear-grade stupidity. But Dr. Deshaun Stokes is giving her a run for her money. And in fact, this tweet completely and absolutely illustrates very, very clearly how the left doesn't see liberty the same as people like you and I, individualists. Collectivists just don't understand liberty like individualists do. The tweet sent yesterday says the majority of gun owners say they own guns for safety and protection. That means it isn't primarily about freedom, as NRA propaganda often suggests. It's about insecurity and false perceptions of safety. Well, Dr. Stokes, I suggest you hop out of the pit of eternal leftist stupidity. For God's sakes, put the shovel down and stop digging at least. What is liberty? Is there any liberty we can have as people if we don't have a right to defend ourselves, secure our home, and protect our loved ones and ourselves? If we can't protect our very lives in a manner that we see fit, then we have lost the most essential human right, the most essential natural right, and the most essential individual liberty anyone's ever had. You cannot have liberty without the right to defend yourself. So security and safety and our ability to do those things for ourselves is absolutely part of liberty, part of freedom. And you, sir, are a fool. I would suggest you stop pretending to be a doctor on Twitter, stop pretending to be more important than you are, and actually engage in some critical thinking if you're capable. Because you're a buffoon. All your tweets are completely inane. All you do is regurgitate the propaganda that the cult of gun control feeds you. That's it. You ignore self-defense uses of firearms. You ignore, again, what the CDC found, between 500,000 and 3 million Americans per year use firearms to defend themselves. Most of them never fire the weapon. Most of them don't kill anybody. That's the stat the left uses. All defensive uses are only when we kill an attacker in self-defense. No, if the attacker runs away, if they throw their hands up and surrender, if they drop their weapon, if they flee, if they leave you alone, if you save yourself or your family, you've engaged in self-defense with a firearm. That's the thing the left doesn't want us to know. And people like you, doctor, in air quotes, are too stupid and too consumed with your own leftist ideology to even consider that. So that's the key. The left and the right. People always, they bother me when they say, well, how do we bring these two sides together on guns? You can't. One side is committed to very simple truths about America's founding and very simple truths about the nature of man, nature of the human condition. The other is engaged in making us all defenseless, making us all equal, again in air quotes, because government enforced equality is what they're calling for, and that's nothing but a recipe for disaster. And talk about a recipe for disaster. Let's look at Venezuela and communism. How those two have come together. You know, I get criticized as anyone else who defends the Second Amendment. We get raked over the coals for saying first comes gun registration, then gun confiscation, and then democide. Well, certainly we could look at Pol Pot, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Castro, Guevara, Che Guevara, many, many, many evil dictators who have used this recipe. Or we could look at Venezuela today. And what Hugo Chavez, the thankfully dead little communist bastard, and now what Maduro, his replacement, is doing and has done, first to gun rights, then to all rights, then to the people. Let's go to the Hill. This is written by David Capel and Vincent Herrenman. Since April 2017, at least 163 pro-democracy protesters, 163 pro-democracy protesters in Venezuela have been murdered. Who murdered them? The NRA? Gun owners in America? Second Amendment activists? No, the Maduro dictatorship murdered them. Venezuela serves as an example of how gun prohibition can sometimes encourage gun crime. I would say always encourages gun crime. I would part with the authors on that, but that's neither here nor there for this purpose. Let's go back to 2012. At that point, the communist-dominated Venezuelan National Assembly enacted the Control of Arms, Munitions, and Disarmament Law. The stated objective was to disarm all citizens. The new law prohibited all gun sales except to government entities. Of course not, because the government is good. The individual is bad. The government must teach us and show us and direct us all how to live or else. The penalty for legally selling or carrying a firearm is a prison sentence of up to 20 years. Now understand, if we had a penalty here of 20 years in America, where there is a Second Amendment, you do have a right to keep and bear arms, the penalty for illegally selling or carrying a firearm is 20 years would be a good thing, because that would be taking thugs, bad guys, evildoers, potential mass shooters, potential murderers off the streets and locking them away for a very long time. In Venezuela, it's bad because they basically made anyone who wants to defend themselves into a criminal. Gun control laws largely do that. They take law-abiding citizens and make them into criminals. Instead of going after criminals with harsher sentencing, with tougher policing procedures, with not coddling the left-wing agitators, we don't do that here. No, we go after the left as anyway, legal firearm owners, and try to make them criminals. They're going to reduce crime by making more criminals while coddling and babying and not really punishing or going after the real criminals. That's madness. But leftism is madness, my friends. It is absolutely madness. Now, we hear all this all the time. less crimes, less violence, less guns, less violence, less guns, less crime, less guns, less homicides. Well, this bill went into effect in 2013 in Venezuela, also known now as a communist hellhole, where people can't buy toilet paper. You have to stand in line to buy anything. Essentials. Things that you can buy in America all the time. Isn't it odd that in America, this evil capitalist system that is so horrible, you can walk in any store and pretty much buy anything you want, anytime you want. But in Venezuela, in the communist paradise, you have to stand in line for toilet paper, medicines, and if there's no medicine or no toilet paper or no essentials to feed your children or yourself, well, that's equality. And equality is good because everyone's standing in line and suffering and in destitution together, whether they're rich or were rich, not rich anymore, or poor. Everybody's miserable, but that's equality, right? And the left is obsessed with what? Equality. The ass backwards left. Now, go back to the Hill piece about Venezuela and gun control. Ostensibly, the motive for gun prohibition was Venezuela's out-of-control crime rate. So they enacted this bill in 2012. In 2015, after they cut the wonder of gun control, their homicide rate was the world's highest, with just under 28,000 Venezuelans murdered that year. Bolivia, the Bolivarian Republic, as it's called now, is the only South American nation, also has very, 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 very strict gun control laws, has a homicide rate that has steadily risen for the last 23 years since 1995. Interestingly enough, what the cult of gun control will never recognize is that since the early 90s, gun ownership in America has increased. More guns, more guns, more guns. All that time, the homicide rate, violent crime rate have dropped precipitously in America. Huh. More guns, less violent crime, less homicide. But in countries where they take guns away from people by force, skyrocketing violent crime rate. In Britain, Great Britain, wonder of gun control has been trumpeted by the left. Well, now gun crimes are up there. After a couple decades, I think, of gun control, strict gun control, violent crime is up. Shootings are up. Violent crime with guns is up. And they're thinking about actually going out and banning certain types of knives because stabbings are so common. Again, there are predators in the world. This is reality. I wish there weren't human predators. In nature, you can look and see leopards. What do leopards do? What do lions do? What do bears do? They all go after what? Easier targets. The sick, the elderly animals, the young animals. The animals who are injured, they don't go, and a pack of wolves don't go after a huge male buffalo that's the most dominant buffalo out there. Bison, I should say, I guess. They don't go after that 2,000-pound son of a gun who can absolutely crush them. No, they go after the sick, the disabled. Wolves are fearsome creatures, and a pack of wolves is one of the most devastating things you could ever face. But they leave the most able to defend themselves alone. They go after the easy target. Human predators are the same way, except human predators don't do it because that's a natural course. They do it because they're evil. And whatever consumes them, mental illness, maybe they worship Satan, maybe their mind is completely obliterated because of all the all the mental illness medications they're taking or mistaking or not taking or taking too much of or not enough of. Or maybe the cocktail of the combination is just too much for them. Or maybe they're just plain mean. I don't know. But they're out there. And disarming good people doesn't change the behavior of bad people. This is so foolish to the left. They actually think that taking my firearms away or limiting what I can have is somehow going to prevent a bad person. The fact is, anyone wanting to break into my home and do harm to me or just take things, if they were able to know, okay, this is the type of firearms he has, this is the type of capability of self-defense of firearms he has, I'm not going in there. Or if he knew I had no firearms, because let's say gun control, the cult of gun control got their way, and I was completely disarmed. That same person might say, well, you know, that's a much easier target. I'd be much more in danger if they knew that. And let's face it, they seek these out. They seek out places where people will be in a gun-free zone. It's evil. Now, more about the violent crime and homicide rate. In the year prior to Maduro's disarmament initiative, the Venezuelan capital of Caracas had a homicide rate of 122 people per 100,000 inhabitants. That's astronomical. How astronomical? Well, the global average, including all the other countries with very, very, very high rates, like Honduras, Dominican Republic, places like that, Mexico, the People's Republic of North Korea, all those countries, is 6.2. America, with more firearms than anybody, easily number one in guns per capita ownership rate. Ours was 4.9. The gun homicide rate was far lower than that, 3.03 per 100,000. So the fact is, in America, if you're standing in a crowd of 100,000 people, let's say you're in a sold-out stadium, one of these SEC stadiums that holds 100,000 people this college football season, three of those people in a year will be killed with a firearm. That's pretty low. It's half of the global average. And it's infinitely lower than the rate in Venezuela and countries like that that have extremely strict gun control. And by the way, Venezuela has taken some of those firearms. It's taken by force because most weren't surrendered. They were seized. They were taken away. And they've armed, as of last year, 400,000 people who are loyal to the Maduro government. So what do you think they're going to do with those firearms? You think they're going to be peaceful with them? Or do you think maybe they're going to go out and hunt down Maduro opponents or people who actually like freedom or even basic, want to embrace basic Western values? You think they're going to be in danger from those 400,000 thugs? But it's okay because the government armed them, right? It's better that people who they might target would be disarmed to the left. That, my friends, is moral retardation. And please, don't anybody complain they use the word retardation. It has a meaning. There's nothing demeaning to me about using the word. I certainly have no demeaning thoughts about people who are mentally impaired in any way. Okay? They are wonderful people. And I have nothing but compassion and empathy for them. So don't go there. Back on topic, though. Let's go to Texas real quick. This is the mindset of the cult of gun control. Part of the snowflake nation. And it's not just college kids. As I said, the people who are on the left who put the propaganda out there, they make these people so obsessed with hating firearms and hating firearm owners and hating groups like the NRA that people lose their mind. A few days ago, right here in Texas, a man named Troy Johnson took his two daughters to a local park to play. He had a t-shirt on. T-shirt said, "I'll control my guns, you control your kids." There was a picture of an AR-15 printed next to that quote on the t-shirt. So clearly this was a high-capacity, military-grade assault weapon t-shirt. Probably should be banned too. There was an unidentified woman at the park who was triggered. She was very upset. She called police because the man Johnson was also not just wearing the shirt but carrying a sidearm openly. You can do that here in Texas, open carry, as long as it's holstered. You can't brandish the weapon. Okay, walking around in an open carry state with a firearm strapped to your side is not is not brandishing a weapon. If you pull that firearm out, the revolver or the semi-automatic pistol, then you are, unless you're trying to defend yourself, then you are an idiot and you're subject to arrest for brandishing a firearm. Of course, most people who own guns aren't idiots, and certainly most Texas gun owners aren't idiots. Now, this lady was, according to someone else, seething over what she had seen on that shirt. A man approached Johnson and his family and made a good comment. He said he was glad someone was there at the park who was capable of protecting other people. But he also learned that the woman had called the police on him, he decided to say, and talked to the officers. The officer, Corporal Reese, arrived a short time later. He spoke with a woman who told him all the parents on the playground were very uncomfortable with the shirt. How she read their minds and no, I don't know. But of course, she's a leftist, so she knows what everyone else better think or else. But she was more triggered by the shirt than the actual firearm, she said. This is sad. This is ridiculous, but that's how they think. A gun is always bad. Notice how they always say gun violence. Killed by a gun. I lost this person or that person to gun violence. They don't say knife violence or baseball bat violence. See, if your loved one is a victim of violence, especially if they're killed, it's horrific. But it's not horrific more or less because of what the attacker uses, whether they use their fist. More people are beaten to death than are killed with AR-15s in America. But that doesn't matter because the AR-15 is evil. It is a combat-ready, military-grade assault weapon that can shoot 60 rounds in 60 seconds, according to noted idiot Piers Morgan. Of course, I don't know any human being who can pull their finger and hit the trigger that many times that quickly. If they can, hey, I'm sure there's someone out there. I want to stay on their good side. But in closing, I want to get to some common sense here. And I want people to understand the most basic difference between left and right. There's a lot of educated, highly learned, scholarly intellectuals on the left, but they don't have a lick of common sense. They can't engage in critical thinking, and they reject basic truths and simple truths, simple wisdom. In other words, they don't embrace wisdom at all. This piece is by Robert Curry of The American Thinker. He talks about both the First and Second Amendment. On one side of the debate, there is the left, he writes. The founders' understanding is certainly not to be found there. The left rejects the thinking of the founders and is determined to take the founders' republic down. On the other side, the defenders of the founders do not even use the language of the founders. God, how true that is. And do not seem to realize how far afield they have wandered. James Madison, who drafted the Second Amendment, is known as the father of the Constitution, I would add. He would also be astonished, Curry writes, by this strange post-constitutional, even post-American debate. How would any of the founding fathers have made the case for the Second Amendment? You hear this all the time, the founders didn't intend this, the founders didn't intend that. Well, sorry, you're wrong. Curry writes, why, in terms of unalienable rights, of course, the concept of unalienable rights is a key to understanding the American founding. The Declaration of Independence declared that we have unalienable rights. It went on to declare that securing those rights is the very purpose of government. As Jefferson wrote, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. According to the Declaration, any government that deviates from the noble purpose of securing those rights is illegitimate. Now compare that to the First Amendment. Curry continues, now let's consider the First Amendment before moving on to the Second. Please notice how it begins. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. The very first words of the very First Amendment are, Congress shall make no law. No rights are here granted to the citizen. They cannot be because those rights are unalienable. That is, already possessed by the citizen. In other words, the rights are already ours. He continues, the First Amendment follows the logic of the Constitution as a whole. It restricts what the federal government, in this case Congress, can do, as does the Second. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That shall not be infringed is strong language and perfectly clear. To infringe is to trespass, to intrude, to encroach. Shall not be infringed in plain language means no trespassing. And it is the government that is warned, to keep out. In short, folks, what he's saying is very simple, basic truths. The founders were extremely wise men who embraced basic truths that are based in wisdom and common sense. The left today doesn't do that. Many people today don't do that. They'll argue, but they'll stray from the most common things that should be noted. The basic truths, the basic wisdom. It's very sad to see. And I hope that you will take some time, the next time you debate guns with somebody, to argue this point with them. Simple truths. They cannot be refuted. They cannot be taken away, and they cannot be beaten. And it will open some people's minds. Maybe not a lot, maybe not most, but some. And that's a win for our side. A win for this country, a win for the founders. This is Doug Hagen for the Daily Gator blog. If you're left, folks, you just ain't right. Goodbye. God bless. Talk to you next time. And of course, as always, go Gators. Go Gators. And go Gators. You're defending college baseball World Series champions. Don't forget that. Y'all have a good one. Take care.